$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast, the podcast where we revisit and review movies from our youth. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and with me are my co-host, Brian Higgins.
Hello.
And no Rick Maxian this week.
Nope.
Rick is off. He's got some family obligations. Family in town, so he's... Don't you just hate when family stuff gets in the way of podcasting?
Yeah, priorities, Rick.
come on, Rick. What's going on?
Number one priority is podcast. Number two priority, your family and your children.
Exactly. And watching movies that you're not sure if they hold up or not.
Exactly.
That's why you test them. We are recording this week from the Satellite Movie Cave.
The Satellite Movie Cave.
Da, da, da. So, Brian, how are you doing, sir?
I'm well.
Yeah. So, we just recently, this past weekend, we performed with our improv organization at little telethon.
Oh, yeah, we did.
You know, a little fundraiser for a youth center, which is good. It's good to give back by relaying our comedy.
Indeed.
You know, because,
you
know,
give the gift of laughter.
We have very little skills to provide, but that's one we can do.
Yes, exactly.
I'm not building you a house,
nope.
Or, you know, or but and what else was going on? You were up in Maine for a wedding, right?
Yeah, I did that this past weekend.
Nice. How was that? Was that good?
It was fun. Yeah.
Drove up with your fam.
With my sister and her
sister.
Husband. Yep.
Well, how long is that drive? Like 2 or 3 hours?
Yeah, thereabouts.
Yeah. Okay. So you were in the car with your family for a few hours on a long drive. Now, Brian, I must ask you, since you were in the car with your sibling on such a long drive, how did your sister act?
Oh, that was a roundabout way to get there, but very well.
I thought about that one for a while.
Yeah, I can tell. That was clearly rehearsed.
If it's not spelled out for you explicitly, that is the movie we did the reviews on
yes.
this past week. Sister Act from 1992. A couple of interesting things about Sister Act. So the director's name is Emil Ardolino. I'm probably not saying that right. Passed away in 1993, but... This guy...
So he can't criticize your pronunciation.
No. That's true. But it's one of those things where Sister Act is really, if you think about it, it seems like a really iconic movie, but it's one of those movies where you never knew who directed it.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the other things he directed Dirty Dancing.
Oh.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, he doesn't have an extensive career of movies that you've seen, but the ones he's done, they're just kind of like, oh yeah, this was a classic 80s movie, early 90s movie, but I never knew who the director, because he did Dirty Dancing. And then the other one of note, which we've talked about in the past weeks here, Three Men and a Little Lady.
Oh.
He did that one too. So he did not do the original.
He was the ringer brought in for the sequel.
I guess so. Yeah, exactly. So Brian, what was your first experience with Sister Act? Did you see this?
I didn't see it in theaters.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was one of those Blockbuster VHSs that I rented once.
Yeah.
But like it was never a very formative movie for me as a kid.
Okay.
So, like, I think I saw it once. Maybe
saw it
twice,
once.
But...
And that's, you've only seen it once, and that was since today.
Yeah.
Now, this was on these movies where I don't think, I'm trying to rack the brain here, and I definitely didn't see it in the theaters, but I did see it when I was younger.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a couple years after it came out. Maybe I was 13 or 14, because it came out in 1992. And it was one of these movies where I probably wasn't very interested in seeing it, but my parents wanted to see it. And when I watched it, I just thought it was great because it's obviously one of the go-to comedic tropes, which plays in its favor, or kind of what the movie is hinged on, is a fish out of water tale.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. But I thought it was interesting how you had the juxtaposition of this woman who led such a vastly different life than nuns in a convent, and how she affected them being in that scenario. And also the other thing I remembered is that the music was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I loved the music, and I just remember that my parents really enjoyed it too. I had a fun experience watching this movie with my parents, so that's what I think about.
That's always nice.
Is how much my mom and dad loved it.
Yeah.
And I had no interest, but it kind of it turned me around once I watched it, so I enjoyed it too.
Good.
But it's been a long time. Strangely enough, I feel like they play Sister Act 2 more on TV.
Which I have not seen. I might watch it tonight after we're done.
Oh, that was my first experience seeing it. But then around the time of high school, especially when I was in kind of the, which was going to tie it a little bit into discussion throughout the time, I was in choruses,
yep,
Madrigal choruses, select concert choir, all that stuff. there was kind of like a pastiche resurgence because we would sing the songs, almost making fun of, but like kind of loving the songs from Sister Act. When I was in Madrigals, like we would get together and we'd sing like "Ain't No Mountain High" or what's the
not
song?
In this movie,
not in this movie. But similar songs to that, yeah, like we would sing it as like,
I love it,
yeah,
I love it,
like as a joke, we would do that to like prep and get ready for like the show
yeah,
and stuff.
I remember
so,
you guys doing
yeah.
that.
Yeah. So it was kind of like a pastiche resurgence.
And you would
that
clap
came
your
back.
Hands like this.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of
Which
became like a shared love. One of those like, hey, remember this movie? Oh, well, this is the song. Let's all sing it together.
Exactly.
So that came back around. Yeah. So that made it fun again.
Makes it fun again.
So let's jump right into the movie, why don't we? The movie starts off, now this quick little one-shot flashback scene of Dolores Van Cartier, who is the young Whoopi Goldberg. They show her at St. Anne's Academy in 1960. I did not remember this kind of intro scene whatsoever.
I vaguely recall
it. You vaguely
it.
Remember yeah. it? Yeah. So this kind of scene right here, Dolores here, when she's young, and she's obviously in Catholic school, this is kind of like a way to introduce us to a young, sassy Whoopi Goldberg, because the nun, who is the teacher, calls on her, and this is Dolores' response.
Who can name all the apostles? Yes, Dolores.
John, Paul, George, and Ringo.
Dolores Wilson. You are the most unruly, disobedient girl in this school. Now, I want you to march right up to that blackboard and write the names of all the apostles alphabetically.
So she goes up to the board and she writes John, Paul, Peter, and Elvis or something
yeah.
like that.
Get it?
But it sets up how she's like a wild child.
Yeah.
But
I will say, whoever this young Dolores is, she was very well cast.
Yeah, yeah.
She gave off a very good young
A very
Whoopi
good Whoopi vibe,
vibe
yeah. We then kind of flash forward to the present day where Dolores is in this group called the Ronells. Is that what they call? And they're at this casino in Reno and they're doing like a review where they're singing Heat Wave and My Guy and I Will Follow Him, which we brought up earlier. This part's kind of funny because them, like this three lounge singers act, they're just performing on this little stage where there's clear machines on the stage. So people are gambling, not paying attention to them whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're putting on this full review and people don't care whatsoever.
She's very upset.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
She's just like, how dare this man who's gambling not pay attention to my singing?
I mean, we've played at venues where there's too much going on. That's just a poor setup by the location.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want them to pay attention to the act, like, don't put the gambling games right there.
Nobody puts the Ronells in the corner.
Exactly, exactly. After the show's over, Dolores, we find out, is sleeping with this married guy. And we find out he's kind of like a gangster, and it's Harvey Keitel.
Ah, yes.
Like I said, the last time I saw this movie was probably 5-10 years ago, but I was like, Harvey Keitel is in this movie? I totally forgot that. I did not know that. And she wants him to tell his wife all about them, and he uses the excuse that he went to tell his priest, and his priest said that he couldn't get a divorce. So that's like his justification.
Yeah.
My priest says, no, I can't do it. Vincent LaRusso. Maybe it's related to Daniel LaRusso from Karate Kid.
Probably not.
Similar name.
Usually if the names aren't the same, they're not related.
They're different. So Dolores goes back to her group, and she says that she's going to quit. She doesn't want to do this life anymore, so let's kind of hear about the justification of why she wants to leave the singing biz.
You're quitting just because he won't leave his wife? No, not just because he won't leave his wife. I'm quitting for a lot of reasons. It's something I have to do. What's going to happen to the act? You know what's going to happen to the act? You're going to get somebody else. It's not a big loss. Well, you put everything together. You pick all the music. You tell us where to stand and everything. Yeah, I'm a real genius. I'm a real genius. That's why we're packing them in. And don't you pack any more of my makeup in that bag. Don't think I don't know what you're doing.
So, yeah, she wants to quit the group. But as they said, she is really the brains behind it. She's the musician. She picks out the music.
Yeah.
She does all the rehearsing with them. But she gets interrupted by Vince's two goons
who
come
goons.
Down with a gift for them. Now, this is Joey and Willie. Now
they didn't put much effort into the naming on these
yeah,
goons.
I know. Well, Brian, one of the things that we had discovered before, if you recall our past reviews when we did Midnight Run,
yeah,
the actor Robert Miranda is once again playing Joey.
That is true.
So remember we had brought that up that we were like, is this some kind of shared universe?
It must be.
I think it was like Bobby and Joey before, but now it's Willie and Joey, but he's still playing Joey.
Yeah.
And
on Pacific Blue, he played Joey San Diego.
Oh, related to Carmen?
Maybe.
Where in the world is Joey San Diego? There's a couple times in this movie that I feel there are very similar things or items which I'll point out to Midnight Run, which I'm wondering if like the producers were the same or involved or something like that. I don't know, because some of the music cues too seem like there was the same music, at least maybe the same composer was involved or something like that.
Robert Miranda was also Joe Scarlett on the A-Team.
Who you could call Joey.
Yeah.
Joey Scarlett, hey!
So I think Robert Miranda has a Joey shared universe.
He's the Detective Munch.
Yeah, he's the Detective Munch.
Bells are there. He's like Munch in seven different shows. So they gave her a mink coat as a gift, and she decides she wants a purple mink.
Yeah,
which is very classy. And she decides to give it back. Now they're talking to this employee.
Well, why did she give it back?
Well, she gives it back because he won't leave her wife.
Because it's the wife's coat.
Oh, yeah, it's the wife's coat.
Yeah.
On the tag, it said Connie.
Yeah.
Which was his wife, yeah. So it was a second.
So his wife also has bad taste.
Yeah, that's true. So they're talking to this employee of theirs named Ernie, who's apparently a limo driver.
Yep.
And they saw that he was talking to the cops. And they're like, what did you say to the cops? And he's like, I didn't say anything. Dolores goes, she walks right in the door just in time to see them kill Ernie.
Yep.
So now, she's a witness to a murder.
Did you recognize Ernie?
No, he did not look familiar to me.
He was in The Rocketeer.
What?
One of the gangsters from the beginning stealing the jetpack.
Oh, okay.
Also dies very early, I believe.
Okay, there you go. He's typecast as a
guy. Like, I saw him, I was like, hey, Rocketeer.
So Vince, he's very nonchalant about Dolores just seeing a murder take place.
Oh, hey, babe.
Hey, babe, I just killed a guy in front of you.
Babe.
He wants to talk more. And she says, oh, I'll be right back. And he kind of says, like, well, bring her back. But if she kind of takes off, take care of it. So he's got no love for Whoopi here. He'll just bump her off.
Correct.
Yeah. And again, like I'm saying, the similarities to Midnight Run, just kind of take a listen to this, like, chase music. And it sounds very much like the opening music of Midnight Run, I thought. That's just a snippet of it, but that's kind of very similar.
Yeah, it's because that was one of the things I think we mentioned with Midnight Run.
There was like typical 80s music.
Yeah, very, very of its time.
Yeah, right.
And so like this is 92, right?
92.
So, yeah, late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
It's not that surprising.
They just had like a well of typical 80s chase music that they used, I think.
But I watched the movie through the credits, and one of the names that stood out for me was one of the music coordinators was Jimmy Vivino.
Oh, Jimmy Vivino from Conan. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
So they're like shooting at her, and then she climbs down a ladder and she's like under the sidewalk and everything like that. So she escapes pretty good. I can ask you, thought it was a weird choice that they did it in Reno versus Vegas, but she really wasn't as high stature and act to be in Vegas, I'd say.
Yeah, they were playing it as well, and also if she was a Vegas act, it's a lot harder to hide her.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people would recognize her more if she was from Vegas.
I believe she did her own singing.
I think so, too. And watching this movie again, I'm like, Whoopi's not as good as a singer as I thought the first time I saw this movie.
Like, the opening songs, like, I didn't think it was her singing.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm guessing she probably dubbed over the
VO'd
live singing.
Over
was,
it, yeah.
Was, or she was sing, was lip syncing to a track. I don't know exactly what they were doing. But it definitely wasn't coming live from her mouth. So it was one of those uncanny valley things.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Where if it was her, it didn't look like she was actually singing. I don't know. But I couldn't find anything that said she didn't do her own singing.
Okay, well, we'll give Whoopi the benefit of the doubt.
And the quality she did was worthy of Reno.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Maybe Branson.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to be something pretty special to work in Branson.
Did you say Bronson? No, Branson.
Hey.
Hey. So she goes to the cops, and we met this guy, Lieutenant Eddie Souther. Now, this is the character actor Bill Nunn. He's in like, lots of things. And we learned that Vince is like this major mob player. They're kind of investigating him. He's got involvement in drug dealing and money laundering, but it's not enough to kind of charge him, so they need Dolores to testify, and she's really not into it. But they say, like, oh, we'll just hide you for a few months, and then you can come back, and then you're good. Because apparently the trials take a wicked long time. Like, she's like, the trial's not going to be for a few months. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got to get all the charges and everything.
That's true. Yeah. The other thing that they kind of establish as a bit of exposition or justification is that they've had a few witnesses against Vincent, but they've all been killed because there's a big leak in the department.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that they, which is like, this is a very poor police station. Like, you
oh,
know?
Yeah. It's definitely subpar.
Right, right.
And there's just one guy who's going like, I'm putting you in witness protection.
Yep, yep. Well, he's got two like cop buddies or henchmen.
But he won't tell them anything.
No. Right. He keeps it close to the vest. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought like witness protection was, you know, something the FBI or someone
high
up. It is
usually what the FBI would do.
It's
That's
not
true.
What like
yeah.
just the local cops would be
WITSEC.
Like, okay.
It's WITSEC. It's actually not the FBI. It's a whole different department
of
the government.
Whole other department of the government. So just this one guy going like, hey, I'm going to put you in a church.
Yeah. He's really rogue. He's going rogue here.
Yeah.
So he does take her to this convent. St. Catherine's is the
name.
Oh, neighbor.
St. Catherine's.
I don't know if it was Irish, though.
Was it? Oh, St. Catherine.
And she really resists, but he says that there's a contract out for her for if anyone that kills her, it's $100,000. So, but the convent will help out and put her in. Now, the Mother Superior of the convent is Maggie Smith.
Yes, it is.
Now, this is definitely the first movie I had seen Maggie Smith in ever. And then probably when the Harry Potter movies rolled along, I said, oh, that's the lady from Sister Act. That's where that kind of came up. And they realize they kind of both don't like each other, or they're very wary of, because they're from different worlds.
Yes.
So it's very different. They're very wary of each other. Dolores is trying to smoke, and the Mother Superior is trying to give her the rules and saying, like, this isn't a sorority. It's not like a sleepover party. We have rules. And basically, like, Dolores is like, well, just put me in my room. And leave me alone, and we'll just get through this. And they agree, like, okay, we'll just go under the radar. We all know, we can all kind of predict the foreshadowing. We know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we know Dolores is a troublemaker.
By the way, this was not the first movie where you saw Maggie Smith.
Maybe the first one I remembered, though. I probably saw her in other things. I just didn't, it didn't, like, stick in the brain, though.
Hook.
Oh!
Granny Wendy.
You're right.
Yeah.
Because what came 91. Out before this? Okay, you're right. Yeah. Okay, yep. You're right. Okay.
I made sure to look that up because I was like, I know I had seen her in something before Sister
yes,
Act.
Yes, okay. You're right. Yeah. You're definitely right. So she makes her kind of change out of her regular clothes, and she's got to put on a nun's habit. She doesn't like the clothes that she's wearing and her kind of her new name, so she's no longer Dolores von Cartier. She now gets the following moniker.
Oh, no. I can't do this. I'm sorry. This is fine for covering a little balls, but now I've got holster hips.
People wish to kill you. Anyone who's met you, I imagine. A disguise is necessary to protect us all. But while you are here, you will conduct yourself as a nun. Only I will know who and what you truly are. You will draw no attention to yourself whatsoever.
But look at me! I'm a nun! I'm a penguin!
As from now and until you leave, you are Sister Mary Clarence.
So Sister Mary Clarence, so that's
Sister
her
Sister Mary Clarence.
Sister Mary Clarence.
Clarence.
Clarence, yeah.
Mary. Yeah, she's just named after It's a Wonderful Life.
Mary. Exactly, you're
Sister
right.
Sister Mary Clarence George Bailey.
They give some kind of justification, but I don't remember what it is. Yeah.
Mary after Mary.
Sister Mary Clarence George Clarence. Bailey Mr. Potter.
Yes.
That's the full name. I think so. Oh, it is. Oh, you're right.
Yes.
It's in San Francisco. So she's no longer in Reno. She's in.
So he's placing a witness in a church or a convent, like, outside of his jurisdiction.
Again, yeah, the cops.
Like, entirely. Not, like, in, I don't
he's
think he's.
Cop. He gets one city, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I assume he's a city cop. He's placing her in an entirely different state, not just an entirely different city.
Here's a question, and we'll get into this maybe a little bit more, but. Do they establish that they're actually cops? Because there's a point later in the movie that the nuns go, we need to take care of this. We can't leave it up to the FBI. Maybe they're FBI agents.
Maybe.
But I do believe his character's name is Lieutenant Sothier, which they don't have lieutenant distinctions in the FBI. You're agent. I'm very confused. I don't know.
He is a lieutenant.
He's a lieutenant, which
well,
means you'd be a cop.
When she's reporting the crime, she's not going to the FBI. She's going to the local cops.
Yeah. Which, if you were a Vegas cop or a Reno cop,
She's going to the local police station. She's not finding the local FBI bureau.
And Lieutenant Southier is frequently at his apartment and then is suddenly at the convent.
Yeah.
Like, so he lives in San Francisco? Does he commute to Reno?
How far is it from Reno to San
Francisco? Pretty far.
I'm going to look this up while you continue.
Yeah, pretty far. The Mother Superior introduces Sister Mary Clarence to the rest of the nuns and says she's from a very progressive convent. Now, the first nun we meet as part of the group is a very giddy, happy Sister Mary Patrick, played by Kathy and Jimmy, character actress.
Just for the record, approximately 3.5 to 4 hours from Reno to San Francisco.
That's a long drive. Yeah.
It is.
Do you know who Kathy and Jimmy is married to?
No.
Have you ever heard of the Dan Band?
Yes.
The lead singer of the Dan Band. That's her husband. So they invite her to, as the new nun to the convent, recite the blessing over the food. Now, this part's pretty funny. I didn't remember this at all, but it was kind of like a really on-the-fly, her kind of struggling, improvising a blessing type of thing. So I enjoyed this little bit. And we have a couple examples of this throughout the movie, but let's just listen to her on-the-spot food blessing.
I thought that maybe our new sister could offer today's blessing.
That is very thoughtful of you, Mary Patrick, but I really...
Oh, yeah, I could do that. Sure. Bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts which we're about to receive. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of no food, I will fear no hunger. We want you to give us this day our daily bread, and to the republic for which it stands, and by the power invested in me, I pronounce us ready to eat. Amen.
You know, it's like, it was a quick little subdued comedy bit, but I thought that was fun. You know, it wasn't too bad.
Running through the little bits of prayer that she would have heard.
Yeah. So she eats the food, she complains about it, and then since she's kind of complaining, Maggie Smith calls for a vow of silence because she's trying to, like, shut her up. She says it has to go through sundown, and then since Mary's like, oh, no, don't do that, I'll eat the food, she goes, oh, you should try doing a fast, and then they take the food away from her. So it's like really her trying to experience these new things. She's very kind of taken aback by the life in the convent. So another thing they do is, like, they tend to the garden, and she's so hungry that she steals a tomato because she had to fast. And kind of the three main nuns I'd say we meet are Sister Mary Patrick, which we mentioned, Kathy and Jimmy. Sister Mary Lazarus, who's the super old one, who I think on a previous podcast I brought up, we saw her in another movie, and she wasn't wearing the nun's habit, and I was like, I did not even, like, I've never seen her.
Which movie?
I can't remember what it is now.
Sister Mary Lazarus was Mary Wicks. I knew her most for being the voice of Laverne in The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Okay. But she was, like, she's super old.
She was in Little Women.
Years.
She was on Murder, She Wrote.
Maybe it was a random TV show. I don't remember what it was.
She was on MASH.
But she showed up, and I was just like, she looks so weird without her nun's habit on.
Yeah.
Because that's all I picture in my head. And then the other one is Sister Mary Robert. Now, she's the young one. Now, I don't know if they mentioned this in the second movie later, or this was a term that I remember this conversation I had with my dad that made us chuckle when we watched this movie, is I was like, why is she wearing something different? I don't know if he came up with this term or something, but we kind of established that she was a nun in training, which he called a nit. And I don't know if they actually called that out in, like, the next movie, because I swear they said that in this movie, but they didn't. So I don't know if they called it out. I think they call it out in the second one. I think that's where that came from and why I remember it. But so she's the nit. She's the nun in training.
I mean, it's like Maria in Sound of Music.
So Lieutenant Southier interrogates Vince. They come out of the police station, and he pulls up, and he's, like, super cocky, and he's just like, oh, you're going down. Like, he's got, like, a lot of bravado to him.
Yeah.
And they're like, why is he so arrogant? He must have something up his sleeve, and they figure out that he's hiding Dolores.
Yeah, that's why. That's a bad cop move.
He just threw his cards on the table,
yeah.
You know?
He might as well have said, I got Dolores in San Francisco.
You'll never find her. You can't kill her. She's dressed
You're never going to check a church in San Francisco.
I'm not telling you which one, though. due to that, they upped the bounty on her to $750,000. So
that's a lot in Reno dollars.
Yeah. The Mother Superior shows Sister Mary Clarence to her room, a.k.a. her cell. And again, Whoopi is used to the finer things in Reno.
Yes.
So she's really not digging this room. But this interaction is interesting because it really shows the combative nature between the Mother Superior and Dolores. And Maggie Smith puts in like some real like turning the screw zingers there at the end. So let's listen to this conversation.
It's like a nightmare. Where's the rest of the furniture?
Our lives are simple. We have little need for material possessions.
This is out of the Stone Age. Where's the phone?
And what you call?
I don't know. Satan?
Your cell is more than adequate.
Fine. What do we do now? Pray what?
It's 9 o'clock. Pleasant dreams.
Wait. Are you telling me we go to bed by 9?
If I were you, I would use this time to think about my life. And its direction, or lack thereof.
There's nothing wrong with my life. You know, before I came here, I had a career, I had friends, I had clothing that fit. Before I came here, I was okay.
Oh, really? From what I've heard, your singing career was almost non-existent, and your married lover wants you dead. If you're fooling anyone, it is only yourself. God has brought you here. Take the hint.
Did you also think that when they said, who are you going to call? She said, Satan.
Ghostbusters.
It was going to go, Satan, Nathan, Nathan. Like the church lady. Yeah, but she's really like sticking it to her. She's like, oh, we have to hide you. And you were a lounge singer and you were sleeping around with your lover who's trying to kill you. She's like, she's really digging it into her.
Yeah.
Which you wouldn't think a nun would do, be so like very vindictive. But they really are not fond of each other. So, Sister Mary Patrick wakes her up at 5 o'clock, and they go to this, like, now, their convent is in this giant church, but it's completely empty.
Yeah.
There's not many people there.
Business is slow at the church.
Business is not booming. Sister Mary Lazarus, the old one, is the conductor of the choir. Now, the choir is very bad. They're god-awful, so.
Oh.
Pun intended.
Oh.
They're all kind of.
I'm pretty sure that's saying the Lord's name in vain. Sister Mary Lazarus would whip
she
you.
Would be. Sister Mary Clarence would be okay with it.
Though. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sister Mary Clarence doesn't care. She's like, she's we're in hell.
We're in hell. They just kind of reiterated this point after this scene of the bad singing, and everyone kind of like, oh, good job. Like, they're kind of like, what was that? But they reiterate that Eddie is the only one of the cops that knows where she is. None of his other two cop buddies there. He's the only one he knows. And then, so. The next scene is in the arts and crafts room, I guess. They're kind of like making macaroni necklaces or something. But this is where Sister Mary Clarence / Dolores starts to meet more of the other sisters. And really, she starts bonding a little more with Sister Mary Patrick. So let's take a listen to that.
Are you always this cheerful?
Am I? Mm-hmm. Right, I am. I know it. I can't help it. I've always been upbeat, optimistic, perky. Even as a child, my mother used to say, that girl is pure sunshine. She'll either grow up to be a nun or a stewardess. Coffee? Enough about me. What about you?
Yes, what convent did you come from?
I came from the convent of the Sisters of the Moonlight in Reno.
Oh, I love Reno.
You do? Well, you would have loved us. We were a pioneering kind of order. You know, we'd never wear any kind of habit this tight, though. This is really tight.
Oh, I must say, our habits do cut you at the neck just a bit.
Here. Enough jabber. Vanity. A progressive convent? Sounds awful.
These three nuns are like the main ones, but there's all these other very character-y nuns. I don't know if you noticed that one of the nuns, she wasn't really established, but every time you show her, she was like the old hip-hop lady from The
Wedding Singer. Yeah. She was one of the choir nuns.
Yeah, she's one of the choir nuns, right.
She was also in Wedding Crashers.
And Patch Adams, too.
Yeah.
She's like, I took the noodles and I gave him a because she gives meatballs as payment in Wedding Singer, and then she talks about squishing noodles. She's got like a spaghetti theme to her, I guess.
Spaghetti and meatballs.
But again, it's Sister Mary Clarence kind of just like pulling this out of her ass that she's like, oh, I'm from the convent of the Sisters of the Moonlight and they, they preach to whoever, pimps, prostitutes, yeah. gamblers. But the nuns are like, they think it's great because she was getting her hands dirty, meeting people on the street, like really spreading the word and getting down to the people, which they don't do because they're really kind of like held up in this convent. They don't out and do anything. So, and the Mother Superior makes her do all kinds of chores. She's got to like clean things and everything like that because she talks too much. So that's kind of how she's trying to keep her busy, is by giving her all these like odd jobs and stuff like that.
Naturally.
But Sister Mary Clarence can't deal because all she's doing is she's praying and they're cleaning and over and over. And then she starts bonding a little bit more with Sister Mary Robert, the young one. She gives her like this clock thing. Or like a flower.
Like a singing flower.
Like a singing flower that's supposed to help her wake up on time, that her brother gave her. So that night, Dolores kind of sneaks out down the hallway. Sister Mary Robert and Sister Mary Patrick follow her. And she ends up going to like this biker bar.
Yeah.
She just kind of goes in there. And now this is very weird. She goes to the jukebox and then there's the guy like kind of hassling her. But she comes back with like a quick one-liner. Now, the first time she shows up, she talks about how, like, no drinking, no smoking, no sex. Like, all these are all the things she usually did. But yet she goes to the bar and she orders, like, a Coke. So it's like she's got these vices that she's longing for, but she goes to the bar and she orders a Coke.
Maybe she meant to order Coke.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. And they just kind of, like, the bartender misunderstood. And the other nuns enter and they try to get her to leave. Sister Mary Patrick, who, again, like, these nuns never get out, but she's all of a sudden, like, she is, like, obsessed with dancing.
Oh, yeah.
Because Whoopi, like, is trying to get them to leave, but she's like, no, and she starts dancing with random people and stuff like that, where it's like, she has this wild side.
She's like Kevin Bacon.
Exactly. Oh, it's true. Bikers turns to the other biker and says, if this turns into a nun's bar, I'm out of here. And on the way back, the Mother Superior catches them due to this. Because she thinks she's a bad influence, she wants to send her away. She wants to send Dolores to another convent because she's like, it's not working. You're corrupting the other nuns. It's just not going well. But then we hear the sounds of the awful choir going on. And all of a sudden, she has a task that maybe she can do. And she has a change of heart to let Sister Mary Clarence stay.
There's got to be something around here that I can do that's not going to chip my nails or annoy anybody.
You're right, Mary Clarence. To err is human, to forgive divine. You may stay. But I shall restrict your activities to a single task. Singing. You will join the choir.
Choir? No.
You will sleep and you will sing. That will be your task until you leave.
No. The choir? I mean, have you heard them?
The choir. Mary Clarence.
So she is going into the choir. Now, as she goes in there, it's still being led by Sister Mary Lazarus, but she starts kind of like suggesting things because she has more of a better background about it. And Sister Mary Lazarus,
she's used to running girl groups.
Yeah, exactly. But she's getting mad because she thinks she sent her in there as like a almost like to overhaul the group and take over. You know, she's kind of like a ringer or something like that. So she gets upset. But the rest of the
mutiny.
Rest of the group vote for her, though. They're like, oh, we want to try it her way. And then she just does kind of basic, like, alto, stand here together. Soprano, stand here.
Yeah.
Like, basic choir-like things, you know.
Now and sing this note.
She wanted them to sing a chord. That's all they had to do, because that's not something that came to mind at all.
And then they sing the chord, and they're like, this is amazing.
Yeah,
we've never done that before.
We've never done that. So she works at them, and they've kind of been working for 2 weeks. And then the time to debut the chorus. Now, this is the first time we get to hear them all together under the direction of Sister Mary Clarence. And
well, she's saying, like, oh, we're going to go from, like, two rehearsals a week.
Oh, yeah. To
every day.
Right. She's committed. There's one thing you can't say about Dolores is that she's very diligent and she's willing to work hard.
And if it's the only thing she's going to be able to do.
Yeah, it's true.
Might as well make everyone else only do it.
Might as well
do
it, yeah. So they work at it. Now they're at the church for the kind of debut. And they sing a very traditional version of the song. No, I can't tell you what
it's
the name
a hymn.
Of the song. It's a hymn.
Yeah.
Very traditional. It sounds very good.
Yeah.
They did a good job. But then all of a sudden, they kind of switch gears and break it down. Gets a little more funky.
Is it a boogie boogie?
So let's take a listen to that, because this is hip hop. Hip hop anonymous.
Our life, our sweetness here below. Our hope in sorrow and
Now, Brian, would you be upset to learn that there's a different singer that sang the parts for Sister Mary Roberts?
I wouldn't be upset to learn that because I learned it earlier.
Oh, okay, you knew that. Yeah, okay.
I saw that. Maybe it was just me. Didn't that sound like something you would have heard or you would have done during like Central District?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah,
just,
yeah, yeah.
And
well,
then,
that's
oh, we're
and that's one
we're
of the things I need to bring
but fun.
Up. That's the one of the things I wanted to bring up is watching this movie again. It makes me miss singing in a chorus. You know,
yeah.
I always enjoyed it. It's always the I know we more often than we still do shows and we do improv and obviously the sound of laughter or audience clapping are two of the like things we love. But just if I could put another thing up there or maybe on the next tier is just like. A fine, rounded blending of a harmony,
oh, yeah.
You know, within a chorus. That's definitely like something you always strive for and enjoy as well. So, you know, it kind of made you miss it a little bit listening to this. So,
well, you can just go down to the local church.
I guess I could.
Witness a murder.
I'd be like, hey, guys, first teach me some Christian songs because I'm Jewish.
Well, no, you need to witness a murder.
Okay. I'll go look for
a
murder.
We'll get you placed.
Yes.
And
do I have to join a girl singing group?
Yes.
First? Okay.
You will be
sure.
A nun.
Okay.
It'll be like Nuns on the Run.
Oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
I'm Eric Idle.
Actually, there's a lot of hiding as a nun movies. Or at
besides those two you just mentioned, is there another one?
Probably.
Not nuns, but there's the movie We're No Angels where Robert De Niro and Sean Penn hide as priests.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's still hiding in a religious... Maybe we should look that up for the mini. Maybe we'll find a list of hiding as nun movies. Oh, so the people outside start noticing their sounds. They start gravitating to the church.
Yeah.
Including this, like, a prominent four, like... younger girls that are like street dancers or
yeah.
something
like
that.
These hip teens.
These hip teens that
they're
are
like, hey, what's that sound?
What's that sound?
That sounds
from the
cool.
Church. Let's go check it out.
And I was just like, even in 92, I don't know how cool this would have sounded.
No,
if I, was...
I don't know. Yeah.
And plus,
if I'm just dancing on the street, like.
Yeah, like, are there no windows or doors in this church?
It just rings out.
Like,
huh?
How does it resonate that
yeah,
much?
Yeah. So everyone seems super happy after the performance, except obviously Maggie Smith. This is not what I wanted.
Oh, dear, Harry Potter.
And she's, like, trying to scold Whoopi, but the father comes in. He's like, this is excellent. It's excellent. I'm looking forward to next week, and we're going to tell the Archbishop all about it. So it's kind of like when your manager doesn't like you, but their manager is, like,
yeah,
thrilled
exactly.
about you.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's not much you can say about it. Sister Mary Clarence kind of pivots off of this, the Monsignor... loving what they did to using it as leverage and saying, oh, you know what else? It's the Mother Superior's idea that we should go out to the community and really help them.
Yeah, let's
like,
help
them. This is all her. She's putting on her. And he's like, that's a wonderful idea. Like, what is she going to say? Like, no, I don't want to do this great
no,
idea to give back to the community.
Charity.
Yeah. They kind of start this plan to revitalize the neighborhood. And then we get this kind of, obviously... since it's a late 80s, early 90s movie, he's got to have like a montage.
A wonderful montage.
So we have like a cleaning up the knot. So this is some of the things that they did, Brian. They painted over graffiti.
Yeah.
Valid. They kind of dissuaded people from going to the peep show across the street.
Well, they were selling raffle tickets.
Raffle tickets, but also kind of, remember there's the one guy that was trying to get in and Kathy and Jimmy was blocking him?
Yeah.
But I also liked how the peep show, the nudie bar, it also said marital AIDS. Like, it was like,
oh my.
There's stuff inside to help spice up your marriage. It's not just like a porn star. Other things that they did, they were taking down fences. They were meeting local people. They were even fixing cars.
Yeah.
Did you know the nuns had these auto skills? Because some of them did. And they're like raising money for their roof, too.
Raise
like
the roof.
Like, yeah, they're raising the roof. And there's some news coverage about how the church has kind of turned around. So let's listen to this local reporter. Talk about this kind of turnaround for St. Catherine.
Yes, the failing convent at St. Catherine's has truly come alive, thanks to the efforts of its popular choir. What an amazing turnaround story. This convent was once alienated from its surrounding neighbors. Now, as you can see, its doors are open.
Vinny, get over here.
Into the community, establishing facilities like a daycare center and a food kitchen for the homeless. As a matter of fact, the...
Man, you've got to see this performance.
St. Catherine's has resulted in pools. Civic pride.
Babe, we should send them money.
Well,
the do-putters.
Attribute this reach-out philosophy to a new addition to the convent, Sister Mary Clarence, who, unfortunately, is a little camera shy.
I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill her myself.
Get rid of
related news, the Pope visits the U.S. and we'll have more on that in just a moment.
So there were a few different voices we heard in that clip. So one was Vince's wife, Connie, who was watching. Now, Vince is not paying attention, so he doesn't notice that they show Dolores blatantly.
Trying to hide behind a rag or
yeah,
a doll
something
or
like
something.
That. So if he was watching, he would have found out where she were. Then Detective or Lieutenant Sothier, who's just cooking, again, in his apartment nearby in San Francisco.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to kill her. And then we find out at the end that the Pope's coming to town.
Well, yeah, my question is this national news?
Well, it reached Vegas, right? Yeah.
Because, like, why is a story about
hey,
a local
church
are cleaning up
around,
the
right.
neighborhood yeah. being shown in Reno? In what world? Because, I mean, it's hard enough to get, like, a feel-good story on the news to begin with.
Of course, right.
Let alone a state away.
If this is the 11 o'clock news, that story comes in at 11:20.
Yeah.
Like, it's right before sports.
It's the, okay, we've got 40 seconds to fill.
Right. So we're back at the church, and they're singing again, and they're singing My God instead of
yes.
My Guy. So they're singing a version of that. And the church is becoming more filled up. People keep coming in to see it, so they're becoming more and more popular. Now, after this performance, they're all excited. They all love singing. They can't wait to every Sunday where they can sing. Now, this is probably, I would say, the memory serves me that this is probably the most famous line in the movie, I would say. Is when they're talking about how much they love singing.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just take a
yeah,
listen
yeah,
to
yeah.
that real quick.
Ladies, you were fantastic.
Sisters, you did good.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait till Sunday when we sing.
I'd rather sing than do anything.
It's better than ice cream.
It's better than springtime.
It's better than sex. No, I've heard, you know.
So the Monsignor walks in and he announces that the Pope is going to be there and they get to sing for them. So it's very exciting. But kind of as a twist, the Mother Superior, Maggie Smith, says that they should probably do a more traditional concert, even though, as they point out, and the audience is thinking the same thing, the only reason why people are freaking there is because of the new direction that
yeah.
they went.
Now, I'm no papal expert.
Well, people do claim that you are, Brian.
I know. I'm trying to disavow them of that notion.
Oh.
I don't see the Pope showing up to a concert.
Oh, no.
I see him being like, hey, come sing for me at this secure location
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't see him being like, oh, I'm going to go to this janky-ass little church in San Fran. And
well, if you have a fine, like, upstairs balcony all to yourself,
yeah.
now, that's you know.
Most of the time that's called a choir loft.
Ah. Like I said, she's suggesting the traditional program over the secular style. But she says it's a democracy. They'll take a vote. And they take a vote and she's outvoted. So she tried. But hey.
And
no one
she
else.
Failed.
Just her and that one other nun that talks all German. She's the
yeah.
only one. She's the only one that's
I'm a
on
nun.
Her side. Maggie Smith summons Whoopi to her office and says there's a call from Lieutenant Eddie. And that the court date is going to be a couple days. So they've pulled some strings, so she'll be able to kind of get out of there soon. So Whoopi's going to pretty much be gone in a week. And then we also find out that Maggie Smith has resigned.
Oh,
like, she's
resigned.
So taken aback by the actions of the although the church is being successful now.
Yes, but it is not how
not
I like
to
it.
Standards. And she's also kind of scolding Dolores by saying she's really raised her expectations. All the nuns are super excited, but what's going to happen when they're gone? Like, they have all these high expectations, and then, she's gone.
Second time I've used that sound effect in this episode.
Oh, we'll have to keep a running count.
It's like the smell my fingers from Face Off.
So, Sister Mary Patrick and the others kind of sneaking some ice cream.
Ooh.
As Michelle Tanner calls it, some ouse cream.
It's deliciously sinful.
As a thank you. So they're kind of bonding. And she lies and she says that she's not going. She kind of hints like, you guys can do this without me. And they're like, where yeah. are you going? She's like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. She's lying to them.
Because there ain't no mountain high enough.
Nope.
Even though that song's not in the movie.
Eddie comes by and he tells them that Vince knows where she is. She tells Dolores so that she's got to go. They got to take off. And she says she can't, like, she can't desert them. She's got to stay and sing. She's
got
to sing. She can't
just
run away.
I got a song in my heart, teach.
And she goes into the bathroom, and when she goes in there, the goons, Willie and Joey.
Hired goons.
Hired goons. Who is it? Hired goons. They kidnap Sister Mary Clarence and Sister Mary Robert because she went in after her. So they have them in this car, and when the car slows down, Dolores pushes Sister Mary Robert out of the car.
Yeah.
So she just kind of rolls onto the ground. So
it takes them a long time to slow down.
Yeah, it does.
Like,
yeah.
they are rapidly approaching a, like, there's a, and they're driving straight towards it, going full speed. And then eventually, they start to slow down.
They start to slow down. Like, but not before they say that they're going to take her to the Moonlight Lounge in Reno. So this is how,
yeah, exactly,
Sister Mary Robert can kind of get that information. Now, when the car slows down, she gets out. And then she runs back. She tells the other nuns. And then this is when the nuns kind of all decide to band together. They find out who Sister Mary Clarence really is. Maggie Smith kind
of
reveals them. But they don't care. They're going to help their sisters. So let's listen to that.
Yes, two men, and they had guns.
Why would anyone kidnap a nun?
Well, they're Catholic. She isn't a nun. She's a lounge singer. Her real name is Dolores Ancartier. She witnessed a vicious crime and has been hiding in our convent.
She isn't a nun. She lied to us?
She was such a wonderful nun.
What could she do with the choir? She made us sing beautifully.
I should have kept this.
Well, I don't care who she is. We can't sing without her.
She's a literate.
Grandmother, please, I know that you and Mary Clarence didn't always agree, but we've got to help her, please.
We've got to save her.
We can't leave it up to the feds.
Calm down, Mary Robert.
Think clearly. Have you any idea who these two men were?
Yes. They were from Reno, and they're taking her to the Moonlight Lounge.
No. Nevada. Mary Manuel, tell the Monsignor the situation. The rest of you, follow me.
So you heard Sister Mary Lazarus in that clip. She's like, we can't leave it up to the feds. That's why I was confused. Like, where are the feds involved in this? These are just local cops, right? Now, this scene was very funny. I did not remember this scene. So they try to hire a pilot to fly out to Reno.
Yeah, I like this scene.
And the pilot's like, well, it's $1,500. And they kind of like, we don't have any money. And they kind of like start praying to God, but it's a very pointed prayer. Like,
yes.
Please forgive this man for not helping out some poor nuns and hope that nothing happens to him. And the, like, you know, and giving examples of things that happen. And they're kind of cornering him. And he finally breaks down. So he's like, all right, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was funny. I enjoyed that. Vince, back in Reno, Vince tells Willie and Joey that he needs to take care of Dolores. He won't actually do it himself. He makes them kind of do it. But they kind of like, we can't shoot her. She's a nun. He's like, she's not a nun. She's just pretending to be a nun.
But exactly. It's a costume.
They really have issues with her shooting her in that habit. So they try to make her take the habit off. And before that, another one of these kind of like improvised pulling out of nowhere prayers that Dolores does to kind of stall, which I thought was enjoyable. So let's listen to that too.
Lord, I want you to forgive Willie and Joey because they know not what they do. They're only doing what Vince told them to do because Vince is too chicken to do it himself. So he's called upon these two men to take care of his business. So I want you to forgive them, Lord. Respectum, Espiritum, Cacum, Tutu, Epluvium. Amen.
So she ends the prayer by punching them both in the nuts.
Yep.
And then she runs away. Now we get, again, this like Midnight Run-esque 80s typical music chasing them through the casino. The nuns are in Reno. We cut to them. They're crossing the street. It's like you have like 50 nuns crossing the street. It's kind of funny.
To get to the other side.
To get to the other side, right. And the Marquis, you know, remember they were called the Ronels before. Now they're called the Lerons. That's the group without her, apparently.
Yeah.
Which I'm wondering if is it just the original
Leron
two?
And they likes got a, his money.
They got a new singer? You know, do you think it's the same group or a totally new group?
Probably the same group.
Same group, yeah. And then obviously a very funny aspect of them being in a gambling casino and them saying, look for Mary Clarence, try to blend in. Like, they're a bunch of nuns. Like, there's no way they can blend in. So that's a pretty funny line. And Dolores kind of hides at a roulette table. And this part was funny. She told a guy to bet on red 23. And he's like, are you sure? And she's like, come on. And so it lands on, like, red 16. Still red.
Close.
And she goes, well, this was all to teach you all a lesson. So That's kind of funny. And so the nuns are all searching now. Sister Mary Ignatius, which I forget which that was, she's playing the slots.
Yeah.
You have a nun playing slots, and they're like, what are you doing? We're supposed to be looking for Dolores. What's going on? So the goons kind of finally spot them. They kind of go through this side door. So they spot these nuns, and Vince and Joey and Willie are all running around, and they're like, oh, here she is. There she is. What's going on? And they're like, well, there's like 1,000 nuns here. Now, it kind of turns into a game of a recent movie reviews it of Three Amigos, where it's just like all these people dressed the same, they keep thinking is the main one.
Yes.
But it's just like a misdirection. They keep going after every single one. They finally go through this side room. They see them exit into this like private function room, and they corner them, and Dolores reveals herself. She's kind of was hiding in the group, but then she comes out. They walk up to her, and Vince is going to shoot. But again, they're all very hesitant. They can't shoot at her because she's in this habit. That's their kryptonite. So he makes Joey do it. He says, Joe, you shoot her. Joey can't do it. And then all of a sudden, Lieutenant Southier is behind this glass, and he shoots, and he hits Vince in the arm. So this kind of incapacitates him. He's out of the picture, and they're saved. Hooray!
Huzzah!
Dolores has two words for Vince.
Bless you.
Which she meant to say, F you, but all the
But she's been converted.
Yeah. They're like, Sister Mary Clarence, no!
Clarence?
So after all this kind of shenanigans, these antics, their life's been in danger. They've been running around. Mother Superior finally rocks up, and she's going to kind of say something to Sister Mary Clarence, and this is what she says.
I hold you responsible for all of this, for introducing a lounge act into my convent, for utterly disrupting our lives, and exposing us all to mortal danger. Thank you.
Oh.
No, thank you. Thank you all. I'm really going to miss you guys.
We thought you were a nun. Dolores.
Van Cartier.
Sisters, we have a concert to do.
I thought you were leaving.
We can't both of us leave.
So they kind of say thank you. So now, as you said, Maggie Smith said, well, we have a concert to prepare for. And she's not leaving anymore because one of them's got to stick around and keep the tradition going. So they all line up now. The church is packed. It is stuffed. There's so many people there. And the Pope is in the balcony with, like, his whole entourage. And he's got, like, this giant chair that he's sitting in.
The Pope chair.
The Pope chair. And he's sitting there. And then, at this point, they probably sing the most famous song from the movie, which is I Will Follow Him. And they sing the first half of it. Almost like a hymn. It's very traditional.
It's in deference to the Mother Superior's in desire for a more traditional program, I think.
But then they break it down.
Remix.
Everyone's loving it. The Pope's loving it. He's dancing. He's clapping. He's standing up. He wasn't really dancing. He's stomping his feet.
He was poping.
He's poping, and he stands up.
Poping about.
And he's like, everyone's loving it. And then cut to end of the movie. We got the credits going. But then we have like all these like magazine covers. Dolores Von Cartier is on the cover of People. She's on Newsweek shaking hands with the Pope. She's on Time Magazine. There was like a National Enquirer. I don't remember what the National Enquirer said, but
I feel like it was just saying like, oh, this nun is a lounge singer.
Was she really a lounge singer? Rolling Stone. And the nuns cut an album that's now in stores, too. So there you go. End of movie.
End of movie.
So, Brian, what did you think about this movie? Did you think it held up, or what do you think?
I did think that it held up.
Yeah.
I did thought that...
Your thoughts were I thought it
held up.
Yes.
Yes.
I thought so, too. I mean, it's a very fun
It's not
fish out of water.
It's not overly dated.
No.
Like, it feels early 90s, especially when you get into them, like, dancing in the streets and stuff and learning the dance moves from the street girls.
Like you say, like, if they play the montage, there's a very, like, 80s song playing.
Yeah.
But for the most part, the songs they're singing are all, I mean, they were a review group of 60 songs. So you're playing 60 songs, timeless songs.
Exactly.
Basically, so
I think you could watch it today and it would still, I did watch it today.
There you go.
And it still held up the same. But I think you could introduce it to someone and they wouldn't go, oh, it's that old movie.
Right. And Prime Whoopi, I think this was Whoopi's probably best movie. Because I was trying to think about Whoopi's filmography and she's obviously done a lot of movies, but I mean, this and probably obviously her Oscar-winning performance in Ghost are her two best performances, I'd say. The other thing I was thinking about, Brian, is like I said, you had never seen it. I'd be very interested for me to rewatch and you to watch the second one because, again, that one I feel plays more on TV.
Yeah.
And I catch more of it, but going back and thinking about it, and there's good music in that one too. But thinking about the stakes in that one, like this one, she's hiding out from a mob hit. Those are the stakes. The other one, she's brought back to become a nun again to almost like one of those classic like movies where you need like a rogue teacher to get teenagers in line.
Oh, we got
to
whip them into shape.
Exactly. So that's basically the plot of that one. They bring her back because they have unruly teenagers at the Catholic school.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, the stakes are not really as high in that one, but there's still some very good musical
moments. Well, it's like D2 to D3 in the Mighty Ducks series. Where it's like, first they conquered their district, then they conquered the world.
Right.
Now they're fighting varsity.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the stakes in the second one is you have unruly kids, and now they need to go for the all-district singing competition, get these kids in shape, you know? So it's like, okay, you have to come back and pretend to be a nun again for this. So
yeah.
It's a bit different, but I did enjoy this. I mean, the music is fun. Like I said before, whenever the choir comes together and they're really firing all cylinders and they're actually becoming good again, it makes me nostalgic when I used to sing in a choir.
Yeah.
So it really kind of hits home there. So did enjoy it as well. So
now one interesting thing that I saw about this movie.
Yeah.
Originally it was going to be a vehicle for Bette Midler.
I could see that.
Which she was very firmly in the like Touchstone Pictures family
at that time.
I didn't look up why she passed on it. I'm curious what it would have been like with her. Because I think vocally she's stronger than Whoopi.
Obviously stronger.
So I think they might have focused more on her musical performances.
But with Whoopi, why I enjoy this is like Bette Midler, okay, could be fish out of water, but she also like a piece of me feels like, oh, she could also fit into this environment easier. Where I'm like, Whoopi is like total opposite. That's why it's so fish out of water. Seems so like anti what they're doing. Like Bette Midler, like, oh, she'd be an excellent singer, but is she going to be as much of a rogue as Whoopi? Because Whoopi's like a sarcastic, like, you know.
I mean, her persona at that time was very much body lady. So
yeah.
I think she could have done it.
She could have done it, yeah.
It would have been a different movie, though.
Right. That's true.
Like, I have heard rumors that it is one of those movies that they've circled potentially remaking.
Oh.
Which I don't think they need to.
Who would be in the remake? If you were to throw it out there.
I feel just...
I can't even think of
it. It seems like the type of thing that they would use as like a Melissa McCarthy vehicle.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're totally right. You're on the money there.
Because it would be like, how do we make her a big fish out of water? Oh, okay, we'll put her in a nun habit.
Yeah. That's true. You're totally right on that. That's interesting. All right. This might be a little difficult, but are there any kind of product tie-ins? If they were to make that remake with Melissa McCarthy, and start marketing that out. First thing off the top of my head is Sister Mary Roberts' clock there.
Yeah.
They had that.
That's probably a thing.
Clock. Well, that's one of the things about this movie, especially when Sister Mary Clarence goes in the cell. It's very minimalist. There's not too many things.
Yeah.
I don't know what, a purple mink coat might be frowned upon on nowadays. But not a real green dress that's cruel. I don't know.
Nun habits, I guess.
Just sell some nun habits.
Just sell some.
Well, you know, one of the things, especially I brought up the point where they were in the casino and Sister Mary Ignatius was like playing slots. The novelty, and I don't know how popular they are anymore, but like the calendars, nuns having fun. Like all those things, you know, like there's like nuns just doing things and you're like, oh, it's crazy because they're nuns. Like, I don't know if they could do like a.
Well, I feel like you could get away with a lot more if you were dressed as a nun.
Yeah, it's true.
No one suspects the nun.
Right. Right. Which I feel like, and maybe I'll recall this for the mini. I feel there's some heist movie where they get someone.
The Town.
The Town, right.
Yeah,
there you go.
They dress up as nuns.
There you go. So.
With creepy masks, too.
Nuns on the Run. All right, Brian, any kind of last comments, thoughts on Sister Act before we call it a day? Call it a do?
Watch it.
Yeah, watch it. It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I thought it held up. Like I said, I hadn't seen this movie in a number of years. And
it's fun. It's family friendly.
Yeah. Like, that's one of the things.
For a movie that opens ostensibly with a murder,
yeah,
it's pretty family friendly.
Right. That was one of the things the first time I saw this as a kid. The murder aspect, I think, washed over.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, she's funny. She's hiding in a church. I don't know why. But then when you rewatch it, you go, oh, because she witnessed a murder. But that's not as much of a crutch of the movie, I don't think.
Yeah.
So.
Like, we don't have 45 minutes of chase scenes.
Right.
It's relatively.
This one small scene. This is the one reason why we place her here.
Yeah, we have some stuff at the beginning, some stuff at the end. But in the middle, it's, you know, fish out of water, learning to adjust, becoming a better person as a result of being there, and helping the people that are there, too. It's good character moves.
Yes.
That everyone is benefiting from the presence mutually.
And I agree that you should watch this movie, and if you do, if you happen to witness a murder and get hidden in a convent,
Mark wants to be in your choir.
You will know how to sister act in that scenario.
Oh.
And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Brian and no Rick, just remember, you can always paint the grass green. Good night.
Goodbye.
Jerusalem's become a real drag. Everybody hates me.
Not that guy over there.
Who, him? They all say he's different. They say he's really weird.
We don't care what people say. To us, he's always there.
Really?
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my God.
My God.
Nothing you could do.
Mary Clarence, now that we've built this wonderful playground for all the kids, I think it would be just right that you gave the blessing over the playground. What do you think?
Okay.
Not to put you on the spot or anything, but I think it would be quite the dandy. Oh, ooh, if I'm too forward of using that word, I apologize. I'm just so giddy about this playground.
Sure, Kathy and Jimmy.
Yes, that's me, Sister Mary Patrick.
Dear God.
Yeah, it's a good start.
May this ground be played upon in but a holy manner, and no knees be skinned by these slides or jumping ropes, but let the swings swing high to the heavens like Gabriel's trumpet, and may you rest in peace after you're done with your fun times at this played ground.
Oh dear, Sister Mary Clarence, this will not do. Vince, she's over here!
Hey, I'm Vince.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast and our full movie reviews it of Sister Act. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin P-O-D, like us on Facebook, or email us at the $5binpodcast@gmail.com. Download and subscribe to all our episodes on iTunes. And when you do, hey, why not leave a nice rating and review? Helps others to find the podcast as well. Why, thank ya! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, like our monthly Kretschmann Brewing Show, you can find us on Facebook or visit natickimprov.com. Well, that's it for this episode, Cinemaniacs. Until next time, hasta la vista, babies! Whoopee!